Welcome to the Trigger Warning Podcast, y'all. Me and my co-host, my amazing co-host, D. Chanel. We are so excited. This is, again, our season two premiere of the podcast. And we're actually almost a year in. I think we're coming up on our year anniversary.
Yeah, April.
I love it. That's crazy. And tonight we are talking about the uncomfortable truths that we've learned about ourselves, because we all got them. The thing is, just sometimes we may not be in awareness of them. But before we get into the conversation, right, I do want to make sure that we are all aware, because some of you guys are new and, we're on live here, that it is a conversation. Like, it's not, this is not meant to be a lecture. But some things may be shared that are sensitive. So of course, we want to be empathetic towards people like sharing their stories, because we have had some things shared on previous episodes, and that's that's what growth is about, right? Growth and healing. So just be empathetic, and this is a no judgment zone, right? Like, we listen and we don't judge. That's the whole thing right now. Outside of that, just some housekeeping items. I love to see people. I love to see your faces. You don't have to. It would be preferred. But even if not, if you do decide to share, please have your video on. And then you can go back to, like, hiding in the background if you choose. I say that with love. Okay. Outside of that, I mean, do you got something else?
No, ma'am.
No? Okay. And just, again, this is a safe space. You don't gotta, you can share as much or as little as you want. Like, there's no rules here, and we're not here to fix each other, right? We're just here to just be real, share our truths, share our lessons learned, have some laughs, and grow. So, in talking about this, right, these uncomfortable truths, I feel like these are the ones that give us pause. These are the ones that probably are our deepest, like, shadows, our shadow selves, the parts of us that we tend to want to suppress, that we don't want to talk about, that people, most people don't talk about, with the community. What do you guys think of when you think of uncomfortable truths? What comes to mind for you?
Anything that you never really I don't know, I don't want to say you never really knew, but something that comes to your forefront, like, hey, wow, it stings. A truth that stings when you think about it.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I think.
I think it might be, for me, a truth that you may be aware of, but you're not ready to confront or deal with, and you're not even sure that anyone else knows about it or knows or it's affecting anyone else. But internally, you know that, like, this is a thing. This is something about me, because I'd rather help, and when I'm watching, like, ratchet shows like Housewives and stuff, judge other people as opposed to, like, looking internally and, like, fits me? That's, like, the last thing I want to do. But it's the most important thing that you should do, because that's the only person that you're in control of is yourself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes me think about the things that are the, I would say, like, my those core wounds. A lot of times I feel like they attach to, like, certain things of, like, abandonment or rejection, or feeling like you're not seen or heard or understood, feeling safe, like, things like that. And I think it's something, like, we all have it again, right? It's just, again, just sometimes we, I think my biggest uncomfortable truth was the fact that I'm the problem. Like, it has nothing to do with anyone else. Like, I feel like I grew up blaming other people, blaming my circumstances, blaming my parents, blaming, just, friends and just everyone else. But I finally got to this point where It's like, okay, who's the common denominator? You know, like I was not communicating my needs. And especially like relationships, and this is familial, platonic, romantic, I felt like I a lot of times would be very, what's the word? I would be like, I would suppress my needs. I would suppress my desires. I wanted to kind of keep the peace. And that's what I thought being a good person was not speaking up about things so that I could maintain this like false sense of harmony. And internally, I was very like, I would be like passive aggressive. I was like just feeling very dismissed, but at the same time, it was no one else dismissing me. It was me dismissing me. You know, do you guys have, oh, y'all shaking y'all's heads, so that
No,
must.
I get it. I think I said it earlier. What mine was, Lily, was me noticing like I was a people pleaser. So me never wanting to fall out with people, I would just agree with what they were doing. Sorry, y'all, my mom. Real life. So agreeing with what they were doing. And so I wouldn't, you know, to avoid any type of arguments, you know, things like that. It's not letting my yay be yay and my nay be nay. It was always a, and so I wouldn't, you know, I would just be like, okay, well, I agree. It's fine. I go along with it when in reality that wasn't supposed to be it.
That definitely resonates, especially like the people pleasing and things like that. Like I lived honestly probably like 80% of my life as a people pleaser, and I still find myself sometimes like I have to catch myself in it, like having people pleasing tendencies. You know, I feel like that's kind of what I grew up with was serving people and trying to protect other people's like emotions. Like I kind of took that on as my responsibility, but then again, that kind of leads me back to the uncomfortable truth of I'm the problem. Because didn't nobody tell me I have to take care of the emotions? You know, I mean, of course we see patterns like, you know, in parents or like relationships around us, but at the end of the day, we have the choice. And I was taking on way more shit than I really had to. I thought I was playing the hero. I thought I was being a good person. That's what I thought. That was my truth. And
Well, I learned that people pleasing or just going along with people things have put me in some predicaments I should have never been in. Literally just like, bro, no, that don't need to happen, X, Y, and Z, you know, and then it would have been so much different issues. So that was one of the hardest truths that I learned about myself, honestly. So,
Now I had, oh, go ahead.
was saying, for me, it was realizing and understanding that a lot of this is, to take it from a mental health perspective, biopsychosocial, right? Is the environment you grew up in, how you were raised, the values you were raised, and the opportunities or that you were allowed or not allowed, and how that goes into your thinking and your patterns, and that's what your behavior comes from. And a lot of mine, which I didn't want to address, was from childhood, right? Childhood trauma, adverse childhood events. And especially as men, we tend to pack that away and not speak on it because you're supposed to be tough, right? You're not supposed to cry. You're supposed to just get over it, get through it, whatever. But carrying all that into any type of relationship or anything, encounters as an adult, if you got that unhealed trauma, unhealed issues, whether it be with a woman or a man or authority figures, whatever, it's going to come out in every engagement because what we choose to bury because it's uncomfortable becomes what we act out and walk out and live out every day because It's still there. You can't put a big enough band-aid on it or enough makeup on it or anything or bury it deep enough because trigger warning podcast, something's going to trigger that, right? And it's going to manifest itself. And then you're going to look like, whoa, what happened here? What? And everybody's going to look at you or run away from you. And then you're going to be depressed because you're like, why doesn't anyone like me? Bro, you probably don't even like you. Because obviously, if you did, you would take that time to unpack those things. And they are hard, they are uncomfortable. And we have to get comfortable being uncomfortable in order to progress forward. Because if you don't deal with them, you're not going to have good relationships with anyone. And that was probably my biggest uncomfortable truth is like, I have to stop blaming and self-isolating and disassociating and just call a spade, deal with what I need to deal with. And I think the biggest thing was you don't want to show, especially like again, the male, the vulnerability or the fact that you do have weaknesses or you do have shortcomings or even acknowledge that you did make mistakes because you're afraid of the judgment that may come with it. But at the end of the day, when all the chips hit at the end of the night, you have to go home to yourself. You have to sleep and live with yourself. So you can project and deflect and do all that and put on that happy face and that show like you're, like I said in the beginning of the show, perfect, no flaws, right? But you know better. You know, and I think the realest, like rawest people actually have dealt with themselves to a point where they can really walk in their own truth and embrace it without any fear or any reservations. And I think that's powerful because trying to pretend or that face that you reveal versus the face that you conceal, two totally different things.
Yeah. And I mean that really highlights the need for, like you've mentioned, doing the work, but part of doing the work is like that integration, right? Because we all have like the shadow self. We have parts of ourselves that we deem as unworthy, unlovable, unaccepted, by society and mainly ourselves. And those are the parts of ourselves that we tend to suppress. We tend to hide. We want to like not, right? Like, and I mentioned this, I made a post about this before, kind of talking about like how people talk about like anger and things like that as like bad things. We put this like negative connotation on these like negative feelings, but they're not, they're parts of us. We all have them. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't, instead of like criticizing the feeling or instead of judging the feeling, we should be curious about the feeling because they're really just signals to unmet needs, violated, values or beliefs, like it's something that is telling us like, like pay attention, But a lot of times we disregard it, we shun it, we criticize it, we try to avoid feeling the feeling, even though like essentially to get through the feeling, you gotta feel it, right? But we spend so much time and so much capacity trying to avoid it or not like let that feeling get a voice. And that's really where the issues start. That's where the projection happens. That's where the internal chaos happens, So like the integration of it, just learning to accept that we all got some baggage, we all got some shit, we all got some feelings, and learn to use it productively. Use it as a roadmap. Use it as data for how you can become a more authentic version of yourself, how you can learn to fully love yourself, like yourself. Most of my life, I honestly don't feel like I've learned to like myself until probably, whoo, within the past like 5 to 10 years. Like I spent most of my life disapproving of myself, feeling guilty, shameful for past decisions that I no longer aligned with. identifying as like my circumstances that weren't what I wanted them to be. And I didn't like myself. I thought it was crazy, like that dynamic, because I thought I was trying so hard to be a good person, but internally I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel like I was worth anything. Are you guys
Absolutely. I think people don't know where to start, but just start here, start now, because it's a process. You're not going to heal and recover. Some of these things are like, it's a lifelong journey. And you're talking about feelings. It's not about, feelings are not good or bad. Like, even feeling angry versus feeling joyful, whatever. There's a whole feelings wheel that describes like all these feelings, right? It's about how you respond to these feelings. Like, you could be angry without being violent. You know, you can be happy without going to the club and turning up. That there's ways to express the feelings. That's where the negative connotations come. But anger is a natural feeling. Happiness is a natural feeling. Sadness is a natural feeling. You feel these ways. But how you let that manifest in your day-to-day life, or how you react to that, because I feel like a lot of people are impulsive, and they let, because they don't know what to do with that feeling. They don't know what to do when they're angry. And so then they lash out, and then the recipient on the other side is like, where'd that come from? And now people not gonna say anything to you or whatever. Or if you get too happy, they're like, well, you're getting a little carried away there. You know, you just have to understand those feelings. So you have to feel those feelings, as you said, and then know how to use them in a productive manner, as opposed to using them in a maladaptive type of manner. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Anybody else want something to say or have anything they'd like to say?
Right. Don't be shy, y'all now. We ain't trying to just talk to ourselves.
I know for me, a major uncomfortable truth about myself that I learned a long time ago that I had to kind of sit with. And when I realized that, I was like, holy shit, I'm a terrible person. I used to be extremely narcissistic. I was a very narcissistic guy. Not only was I narcissistic to like in relationships, I was also narcissistic to friends. I used to be that friend that wouldn't call unless I needed help. Like, I would wait till like my circumstances were completely screwed up. And then I would call my best friends and be like, y'all, I'm fucked up. I'm in this situation. Until one day they both said, you know, you only call us when you need us. And we've been friends for almost 20 years. And you only call us. You don't call us to check on us. You don't call us to nothing. Like, they let me have it. And I sat with that and I was like, at first, we actually fell out for a little bit. Like, those are my brothers. Those are my best friends. Like, we're tight now. Like, everything is cool now. But at the time, and when I was married, I like sat next to my wife and I was like, am I a bad, like, bad friend? Like, am I terrible? And she was like, want me to be honest? You are. You don't call and check on nobody. You isolate yourself. You isolate yourself from me, and you're narcissistic. And I was like, "What? What you mean by narcissistic?" And she was like, "You weaponize your feelings. You play victim in everything, even when you're wrong. You somehow find a way to be the victim." And I was like, and when she started like naming off examples, and I couldn't like, and I didn't have a way to like wiggle out of that. Like, I didn't have a way to be like, oh, well, you was like, nah. It was like right there in my face. We started like listing all of it. I kind of sat with it. Like, I was sitting on the couch, and I was like, Holy shit, I'm a terrible person. And that's the moment when I was like, all right, I actually got to start making real change. But man, was that was the most uncomfortable truth I ever learned about myself. Like I don't think it's too many people in this world that will sit and admit that they could be like they are a fucked up person and they're dragging other people down with them. And sometimes we don't know, with some of the things that we say or some of the things that we do, that we could possibly be dragging people down with us. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, even after my divorce, I had to take a lot of time to just chill and, like, really, like, get in alignment with myself and with my friends, with everybody that I knew. And, I sat down with my people. And we had like somewhat of an intervention. And we just talked, and everybody just kind of, laid out my good and my bad. And, I did the same thing. And, from there we grew from there. And then somebody special really like helped me see who I am as a person. Like they kind of push me like straight at times. Like I'll look off to the left and start doubting myself again, and she'll kind of step in and be like, "Well, is that how we supposed to be thinking?" It's like, that was the most uncomfortable truth about myself.
And we have to have those conversations with ourselves. And like you said, some people won't. I had to have the conversation with myself not too long ago. Literally, like, yo, bro, the stuff that happened is your fault. Like, you shouldn't have condoned it. But then that's when it played back to me like I was a people pleaser. So instead of me wanting to fall out or tell people they're wrong, because I think it would hurt their feelings something, I just be like, well, okay, well, if you're okay with it, that's your life. Like, I'm not gonna tell you're wrong for doing something or you're, but honestly, I was wrong. I was just as wrong as them. Like, no.
People please to make you a liar.
Yeah, and baby, I was a big liar.
People please to make you a liar.
Yeah, I was a big liar. I had to cover up for so much stuff, and it was just like, yo, you're hurting other people at the same time.
I learned that quick because I used to do the same thing. I used to what I would call overfilling my plate. I used to overfill my plate. I used to never like I used to hate telling people no because I felt like if I told them no, then I'm disappointing you. And I used to be big on like everybody liking me because like in high school, I wasn't the most popular guy in the world. Like I didn't have a whole bunch of friends. Like I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't like the first dude to get picked to go to prom. All kind of stuff, right? So when I joined the military and I got in shape and I started getting some money, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted friends. I wanted a crew. I wanted to be part of a clique. I wanted to, you know what I'm saying, be that dude that posts up at the club and I got 10, 15 niggas with me and we just, vibing and everybody looking at us. So I used to people please. I used to just tell, yeah, I do it. Yeah, I do it. Yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can do that. And as I started growing more into adulthood, I noticed that I would like tell people, yes, I can do something, but I've already made a commitment to somebody else. And then in the end, somebody gonna fall short. I'm gonna fall short with somebody. Somebody gonna get screwed over in the end. And now I look like the bad guy because then they're gonna say, well, you told me that you can commit to A, B, C, and D. Well, I had this, I had that, and it started sounding like a whole bunch of excuses. That's literally what it was. It was just a bunch of excuses until I finally realized, yo, I gotta start telling people no. Like, no, I've already committed to this. And I didn't even realize it spilled over into relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm making a commitment to do something for somebody, for my partner in my relationship, and I don't show up for it, eventually she's gonna be like, okay, I'm tired of the empty and broken promises. Even as a parent, as a father, if I'm telling my kids I'm gonna do something and I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna, you know, get them this or I'm gonna show up to this and I don't, they don't, you know, I done made this promise to be at my son's soccer match on Friday and something at work came up and that what was at work was more important than me keeping my word. To him, he don't know that, oh well, something at work came up for dad. It's just dad just wasn't there. And eventually it's gonna be like, okay, I'm just gonna take what you say for a grain of salt. You gonna if you be there, cool. If not, oh well. And I don't, you know, I don't ever want it to get like that. So yeah, that people pleasing again.
But
Especially
that's when we realize.
call you out, like the kids, they will call you out, like for sure. They are our mirrors. You know, but I like that you pointed out too, and I think it really speaks to, you having those conversations and actually sitting with people. Like, I remember my mom that in our family, we used to have what we called family meetings, and that was like our safe space to address things. Like, it was like, you're not going to get in trouble right now. Like, what do I need to, improve? What are some things you don't like? Whatever, right? But not everybody's willing to have those conversations. So I think that is like something that should be incorporated more. Like, we should have these conversations in our friendships, our relationships. Like, and that's actually one thing that I do with my like clients is like we actually have like a relationship audit. And it's with a relationship with yourself and with your like closest connections, whether it's your spouse, partner, child, whatever the case may be, coworker, because we need to be checking ourselves, right? Because I think at the end of the day, we all have narcissistic tendencies. Like I definitely was a narcissist in my past. I still gotta catch myself sometimes. Like we have that ability, right? It's just I remember I used to definitely blame people because I think we all had the people pleasing tendencies, and I thought that again was me being a good person, but I would blame people for how I was feeling because I was taking too much on. I was taking so much on because I was trying to protect other people's feelings, but then nobody was protecting mine. But why? Because I wasn't protecting mine. I wasn't protecting my energy, my just internal, I was about to say something. My internal, I don't know where I was going with that, but you get me. Like I was taking on so much, and then I would again end up doing behaviors like being passive aggressive, like making comments to people and be like, oh, well, I sure wish somebody would have, did something like that, something like that. Like it was very toxic. Like I think we all have some tendencies like that in our life that has showed up in some of our relationships.
I'm
I feel
definitely
like.
one of the
Oh, go ahead.
toxic. I was just saying, like, I have noticed myself doing that. Like, I will take on so much, and then I get overwhelmed. And then I'm like, well, I wish somebody would help me. I mean, you don't see me over here drowning? Or if somebody
You
called me and be like, can you do this? I'm like, you don't see what I got going on. And they're like, yo, chill out. We don't know what you have going on because I will literally be not tell anybody anything. I'll just be like, well, I got it. You need me to do it, I got it. And yo, that's just doing too much. So Dr. Flood, the floor is yours.
Oh, don't call me that. But yeah, I can definitely relate because I was the same way. I'm a zero fail type person. And I think my uncomfortable truth was that I had a savior complex. I thought that I could save the world, right? And I felt because of my background that I was obligated to save the world, right? So my background was, I came from the inner city. I lost a lot of friends. So I wanted to help their families, of course. I went through a lot of stuff, went through a lot of trauma. So I got to give back to kids who had trauma too. So I got to do all these things. And so I'm trying to be everywhere, everything and everywhere all at once. And if everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority, right? So I was trying to be the fixer for everybody. And also, working on myself. So that made me like, I'll tell you, I have a doctorate, but I also have 4 master's degree. I just can't stop doing things, right? And I thought it was okay, I must have like imposter syndrome or something, right? But it wasn't that. I'll tell you what it was at the end. But and so and now I'm a social work student. So I just kept going, kept going, kept doing everything, trying to be everything. But then did I mention recreation? Did I mention rest? Did I mention that I have 5 kids and I'm also a grandfather to 4 other kids? So how's all that going to fit on a 24
Right.
hour a day? You know what I'm saying? And so there was a time where I went to a psychiatrist and I said, I think I got Alzheimer's or something. He's like, what? He's like, how old are you? I think I was like 35 at the time. I was like, 35. I think I got Alzheimer's or dementia or something. He's like, why? I said, I can't find my keys. I drove all the way 2 hours in the wrong direction. I can't get up in time. I get to places early, over prepare, and then I forget about the other thing that I was. He said, how much sleep do you get? Why are we talking about sleep? How much sleep do you get? 2 hours a night. And how long you been doing this? 8 years. And I was in the military at the time, right? And he said, how many deployments you been on? At the time, I said, three. What'd you do over there? Stuff. You've been through a lot over there? Yeah. Okay, you can get out my office. I'm like, why? Because you don't have Alzheimer's. You're tired. I'm like, I need another, like a diagnosis or something, so you can give me some medicine so I can keep going. He's like, that's your diagnosis. You're exhausted. Your prescription is sleep. And I didn't know how to sleep, right? I was like, sleep? What is that? They literally had to send me to a sleep hygiene course where I had to make my room a sterile environment. You only use it for sleeping and recreation with some your partner, right? Other than that, you shouldn't have any distraction. Whatever. I didn't know this. And I'm so burnt out and forgetting everything and thinking I got dementia at 35, probably the first case ever. And it was really, I was exhausted, but I felt obligated because of the way I grew up. And people kept telling me, oh, you will leave us behind. You done sold out. You done did this, whatever. And I'm just like, I'm trying my best. Like, I do have 5 kids. I do have this. I do have that. I'm trying my best. My family would never come see me. I would have to. It don't matter where I'm stationed, I'd be in Texas. They live in North Carolina. I'm like, the highway works two ways. You guys know that, right? I'm tired of coming to see you. Like, there's an airplane. You can get here in 4 hours. And so finally, I got counseling. And I sat down and I told my therapist all this stuff. And she said, you got to stop feeding the animals. I was like, what? She's like, you ever seen that sign at the zoo? Do not feed the animal. I was like, yeah. She's like, why do they have that sign? Because I don't know. She's like, because they'll come back. And they'll expect it every time from her. I said, well, I do that for everybody. She said, stop feeding the animals. You're not allowed to do anything if it's not for yourself or for your family. I was like, oh, this is gonna be hard. And it was, because I was like, I see like a car accident on the side of the road. Stop the car. I'm getting out the hell. I see this, see that. I'm helping everywhere. I see a GoFundMe, giving away my money, doing everything. And then I'm just like looking at my bank account, like, why aren't you growing? Well, I think I know why now, but yeah, I was just doing so much. But she made me stop that. And then we were able to establish boundaries. And that was amazing. I was like, so I don't have to say yes to everything. I don't have to be on every scene. I don't have to. She's like, no. I was like, okay. And so once I learned those things, I was able to then be more deliberate and intentional with my actions. And I was able to give back in a meaningful way without taking away from myself, because how can I pour into someone else if I don't have anything left? And I was literally pouring from an empty vessel, but I was still somehow filling them up. But when I needed them, When I went through my divorce, when I and became a custodial father of four kids and didn't know how, I didn't even have a recipe to boil water. You think any of them fools showed up for me? No. When I lost my phone and lost all the numbers, and nobody called me to give me their number, that was the moment I realized I've been reaching out and calling all these people and checking on these people. And so the only people I started contacting after that were the people who did call me and give me, and that address list went from 300 people to about 15 people. And I was pissed. I was like, this sucks. So nobody's really gonna check on me, whatever. And this my son's friend, 18 years old, he said, "You shouldn't be sad that you don't have a lot of friends." I was like, "What?" He said, "What's the most valuable spot on the dartboard?" I said, "The bullseye." He said, "Isn't that the smallest circle?" And I brought his 18-year-old ass a McDonald's Happy Meal or something, because I was like, "You should not be this smart at 18. You going places." But that just like that was eye-opening, because I thought the more friends you had, that means the better person that you were, right? That's what my value was in, is how many people I can help and what I can do. But everybody's not going to reciprocate that type of energy, and you can't just be an overachiever. And that was so uncomfortable for me for so long, because I thought you only have to be either passive or aggressive, right? Either you're going to be really mean and say no, or you're going to be passive and say yes to everything. No, you can be assertive. This was all a learning experience that my parents didn't pour into me. And so I had to learn these things the hard way, and it really took a lot of painful growth to tear away from what I was raised to do to what I needed to do. But like I said, that's why I said you got to do the work on yourself, because if you do not, you're going to burn out really fast. You're going to be thinking you're 35 with dementia. So, oh, and I told you I'd tell you what actually what's going on. It wasn't imposter syndrome. How about it was ADHD? How about my mom knew this since I was little, didn't want me to have that label or diagnosis. So I sit and struggle, like, why do I have this overactive brain and always want to do something? And so my wife's like, "I had enough of this. You going back to school again?" "Yes." She's like, "You ever thought you might have ADHD?" I said, "I'm grown as hell. I ain't got no ADHD. It's not just for kids." "Okay, so I'm gonna take the assessment." And then I'm reading the assessment. I'm like, "No, these questions are like my life story. No, this is fake." And so I found another assessment, and it's the same thing. I'm like, "So I think the rating is like anything over 19, you have ADHD." I had a 38. So yeah, and once I found that out, though, it helped me even more, because now I can deal with it. Because I know what it is and control it. And it's just that whole stigma in our community about mental health and about putting labels on our kids because you think it's going to hold them back, but it really not. I wish I had gotten diagnosed at a younger age, and I probably wouldn't have gone through everything that I just told you. But thanks for giving me the floor. That is my uncomfortable truth.
Thank you for sharing. Definitely. I didn't know I had ADHD until I had my son. And I used to be like, oh no, I just like to be busy. No, girl, sit down. You have ADHD. And when I took the test, she told me my score. I was like, oh, really? Wow. And that's when I found that more uncomfortable truths about myself. And I was just like, that's crazy. I'm looking at our Facebook Live. So Arisha said, "Lord, that is so true. That was her problem. She take on so much, then gets upset with the workload." She loved the analogy that was stated. So it's like, thank you so much, Arisha, for commenting and being here on the live along with everybody else. But
She's
yeah.
with ADD, and she would have never known until she thought she was losing her mind. And that's the, I mean, that's like the stigma, right? Like it's not until things are like, I picture that, what is that like, that meme that it's like the dog sitting at the table and it's like fire, surrounding him. He's like, fine. Like, and it's like we don't check in with ourselves. We don't get checkups until the disease is already spread through. And I say disease, but it can be like mental, it could be physical, it could be emotional, right? Spiritual even. Like, it's not until things are in full-blown like chaos that we actually decide to do something about it. And I mean, that just makes me think. I realized one of my uncomfortable truths that I learned about myself too was, well, just in general, is that nobody is going to treat you better than you treat you. Like, I used to, we talk about the people pleasing and the, having the hero complex and things like that, but I used to think that like I could make up for what I was feeling like I was lacking within, so I kept doing more. I kept busying myself. I kept, adding to my plate, just like, Darian said, I avoided stillness. And that was one of my things. I didn't realize that until I was in the relationship with my daughter's father. Well, it was actually after, in hindsight, because that is where I realized I was not in my feminine energy. Because I was so in the masculine, I was so like, let's do, let's go, let's always add. Like, and even when I felt like I had enough, I'm still seeing other people that got things, and I'm like, oh, I can help you with that. I got you. Let me support you. Like I was doing all of these things to busy myself because I didn't want to sit with myself.
That was
I
me.
didn't want to just be. I didn't know how to just be. Like, have you ever sat and not had music, not did anything, and just sat with yourself?
I drive with no music on now in the car. Like, it's completely
But how
silent.
uncomfortable that is. Like, and I thought, because I'm like, okay, I don't want to be still. Why? Because my brain is going to keep going. Like,
Yes.
I don't want to, like, it's going to consume me. And I was kind of fearful of just being. And it took, learning about these uncomfortable truths and realizing like my life, like I don't have to be stuck in depression. I don't have to be stuck in anxiety. I don't have to be stuck in all of these like low vibrational energies. I'm choosing it at the end of the day. Like I'm choosing to be in this. I'm choosing to feel stuck. But to sit with yourself, to actually like, I feel like we, and I was a talker. Like I've Listen, it is very few times in my life where Kiki was like just silent, right? Like lost for words. But I could talk to other people all day. But when it came to like just talking to myself, like, girl, what? I ain't got time. I got things to do. I got, people to help. And I just found that one of my things that I did was my toxic trait was like just staying busy. Trying to always do something for people so that I didn't have to face myself. Because, like we talked about earlier, at the end of the day, I didn't like myself. And I had realized that it was uncomfortable even talking about like parenting, right? Because a few of us are, well, I think all of us are parents on, well, almost all of us are parents on here. Is that with my daughter, who is, she'll be 16 this year. I remember when she was younger and I grew up very religious. I grew up between like the church and Jehovah's Witness. And, we talked about this on the podcast before, but I grew up very reserved, right? It wasn't until that I turned probably like almost 19 that I started really experiencing life. Like, I couldn't, for a long time, I couldn't even do sports, stay after school, hang out with friends, things like that. So when we got older, we got grown. Like, listen, okay, we was out here. And, I realized like I was always filling my schedule. I'm talking about I was working a corporate job and I was at the club probably like 5, 6 days of the week. Like I lived there. And I realized I was like, dang, like I felt like subconsciously, I didn't like talk about it all the time because I kept busying myself to avoid feeling the feeling. But I felt like a horrible parent because I'm like, I'm not spending quality, I'm spending more time in the club than I am being a damn parent. I was ready to drop her off because like I grew up so, just I didn't have the ability to express myself and be free and have fun and do the thing. So when I got the opportunity, like that was kind of the priority. And that's why I tell people like children are blessings, but get your selfishness out first. But I realized, I was like, man, I just felt horrible because I'm like, I'm not spending time with my child. And I love her. Like, I love her to death. But I'm like, why don't I want to spend time with her? And one time it just clicked for me, and this was like the one of the most uncomfortable truths, was that I was like, I don't like to sit with her because I don't like to sit with me. And she is literally me. She is my mirror. Right? So I don't like my damn self. I damn sure ain't gonna want to sit in front of my projection, you know? Like, that was, it was really hard to kind of see that, because I'm like, dang, this is really affecting my parenting. And then it made me think about, doing the shadow work, right? Thinking about like how I felt like my parents weren't what I needed. You know, we talk about like love languages and people speaking different languages. Some people, like, if your language is quality time and your partner or your child or whatever, has, physical touch, and you're thinking, oh, quality time, I'm giving you all this time. And then the person is like, but you're not touching me. Like, I appreciate that, but it's not my language. You're not speaking my language. So it's this, like, this disconnect, right? And that was one of my truths, was realizing, like, you gotta face yourself, like, at the end of the day, because I remember feeling like my parents weren't what I needed them to be. And I remember that feeling, like, I still remember that feeling, right? Like, even at, I don't even know how old I am, 30, 34, right? Don't do me, Terry. Don't do me.
But it's the fact that you have to face it. I think I faced a lot of my truths, October through January, literally. I learned a lot about myself,
This year, this
and
past year.
yeah, I learned a lot about myself. And again, that's where I picked up on the. I made sure I never stayed still because I never wanted to hear my own thoughts, you know? I never wanted to just sit and be like, it made me click on to the part of me where I was a people pleaser, where I would just, hell, lie for other people and defend them because I didn't want to lose, the ones closest to me. End of the day, you're gonna lose them regardless. Because if you have to deal with that or do stuff like that, it was never, never meant to be. I hurt a lot of people, and when I found that I hurt a lot of people, it hurt me. Now, I'm not gonna act like I'm just so perfect now. Please, let's not think that. Because in the midst of hurting some people, I was like, man, fuck you. You ain't give a damn about me. Why should I care about your feelings? Really? But at the same time, I was like, but how would you like if somebody did that to you? Part of me is like, yo, go out, reach out to them. I'm like, nah, you block them for your peace. So it's like, it ain't no reaching out. You make your peace with where you at, and you keep it moving. But that had me sit there and realize. So now, literally in my car, my friend, one of my sisters always tell me, I don't play the radio, right? Literally, I sit in my car in silence while driving because I have no choice but to think. And listen to myself. And I do that in the morning, like after I take my husband to work and my son is in the back seat sleep. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, but I have no choice but to think before I get my day started. And yes, at times there's some stuff I'd be like, like want to hit myself. Like I don't want to think about that. But it's like you need to think about that. Now realize what happened, what you could have changed, and keep it moving. But I also had to tell myself, stop thinking about the past on a what I could have, should have, and just look forward to your future knowing you don't want to move like that anymore. You have to always have an outcome of change and not a, well, that's on them. Have y'all ever met anybody at their big grown age now that's just like, that's just who I am? For real? Is it really just who you are? Like you expect everybody to accept your excuse of that's just who I am? Nobody has to accept that. Nobody has to accept your trauma just because you don't want to change. Yeah.
No matter what age you are, right? Like, if you learn one thing, you can learn the other thing. You know, if you learn one thing, you can unlearn something.
Something.
Well, you can replace it with something else. More,
Most
you know.
people. Those people who say that's just who I am, they also follow that up with, And if you don't like it, well, fuck it. You can go hang out with somebody else or
Yeah.
whatever. They will not accept that how they are is not conducive with a good relationship or anything else. And they think you're judging them when you're not. But you're also, like you said, don't have to accept someone who refuses to grow or acknowledge that there's some uncomfortable truths that they don't want to talk about. Because all they're going to do is bleed all over you. You're not the one that stabbed them. You're not the one, the reason that they're bleeding. But instead of dealing with that trauma, they just put it all over you and yeah. And you just as bad as I am. You just pretend. No, I'm actually working on me. I probably did used to be like you, but there's room for growth and improvement and it's never too late. But those people will get you, they will set you back more than they would ever help you.
Yeah. You know, that makes me also think about too, like another thing, another uncomfortable truth. I used to argue people down. I used to argue people down to try to like, you need to understand that you're wrong. Like you need to see yourself. I need you to look into this mirror. And the thing was, you know, obviously your girl wasn't doing that herself. But one thing I realized too is that as soon as you are busy trying to prove to other people that they're wrong or that you're right, you're wrong, right? Because the thing is, two things can be true. Like, I mean, I don't know if y'all have had like conversations with people where it was like, you could literally be saying the sky is blue and they like black. Like
Right.
I don't know, like y'all had that where it's just like it's not we just not it's not resonating, right? And that is the biggest thing is that two things can be true. You have your truth, I got my truth, right? Like we all have truths, but I feel like I was going somewhere with this and I forgot my thought. But I feel like I dropped a gem there. So
Yeah,
y'all.
and what you're saying is like it's all about perspective and lived experiences, right? And so the way you see things is based on where you've been and what you've done. And the way I see things also based on where I've been, what I've done. Like, I was in the military, and up until I retired, my whole goal was to be the best leader, the best person. I sailed through the ranks, did all that. Let me tell you what it got me in the end. Nothing. Nothing. I poured into all these people, didn't do anything for myself. I got a retirement check and some disability, but also got two TBIs, PTSD, and a bunch of other things. So I would not say that I got the best end of that deal. But when it came to like social life, friends, everything, I neglected all of that for so long, neglected my kids for so long, and then when I was finally out and I had to deal with everything and everyone, I didn't recognize those kids. I thought they were still 3 and 4 years old. That's the last time I really got down and dirty with. Now they're teenagers and they got attitudes and cussing and listening to ratchet music and playing Fortnite. And I'm just like, where'd all this come from? And so I'm sitting here playing catch up, and I think I still am because they can come to me now and I don't like telling them no because I'm like, I did kind of set you back in life a little bit. But also, that's another uncomfortable truth is, yeah, we can blame our parents, but at some point, when your kid's grown, they're grown. I got like a 16-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 26-year-old, and a 7-year-old. But yeah, like the 21 through 26-year-old, I'm not going to take the blame. I wasn't that bad of a parent. I was, like I said, I'm acknowledging I was neglectful because I was focused on my career, which in turn was helping them because we were eating good over here, right? But at the same time, I wasn't there the way that I should have been. And they were going through things with their mother that are divorced, and I didn't know because they didn't trust me enough to come to me with it and tell me. And I was always out in the training environment and focused on my social, whatever. So I didn't make myself available. And that was a really uncomfortable truth. And that's why I said, I love the people that love me. and everybody else gets treated accordingly.
Yeah. Arisha, she said, I'm reading a book, The Psychology of Money, and it goes of that lesson of perspective and what shapes a person's beliefs. Very interesting. That sounds like a good book. I'm gonna have to add that to my
Right.
question. Talking about psychology and money, I'm here for it. That's so when it comes to thinking about these uncomfortable truths, right? Just kind of shifting the gears a little bit. What would you say, like, what advice would you give to someone if they are maybe earlier in their personal development journey? And oh, and before, well, before I even ask that, Paul Jose, Alexa, Darian, did you guys have anything to add? I know I said like y'all got to be on camera, but if you want to just unmute yourself to add to the conversation, feel free to.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, first off, thank you all. This is awesome. Just being in this room and hearing everybody's stories. I'm really it's impacting me because it's like as I'm listening, I'm hearing things that resonate with me and I internalize myself. So yeah, I'm truly thankful to be here.
Absolutely. Do you have an uncomfortable truth?
I would say an uncomfortable truth for me growing up, I kind of had that same symptom of people pleasing, but only because I just didn't have understanding of myself. And that was just due to just me, in a sense, growing up on my own. Like, I have two older sisters, we're like 8 and one is like 8 years apart, the other one's like 10 years apart. So it was just me essentially just growing up, and my parents were dealing with whatever they were dealing with. So that didn't really leave room for them to have like capacity to understand like what I'm going through, how I'm feeling, and things like that. So that kind of left me to my own vices. And in essence, it turned me into a people pleaser because I just didn't want to be by myself, like how everybody else was saying. Like, I just didn't know how to be by myself. But there were times where I had no choice but to be by myself. So I had to kind of learn how to navigate that whole process. And so the thing that came up for me was emotional regulation. Because I think most of the times when it comes down to like, well, for me, when it came down to like people pleasing, it's because I didn't know how to like regulate my emotions. So I would just go with whatever was going on at the time, even if it wasn't really conducive to my growth or my development, or it was just flat out dangerous. Like I had no business being in certain situations, but because I didn't know how to properly regulate my own thoughts or my own emotions and stuff like that, I just kind of found myself in certain situations that I really didn't need to find myself in. And that took me down a journey of just learning how to develop myself and really getting deep into like meditation and being silent with my thoughts and being more of an observer rather than somebody who is experiencing my thoughts. And it led me to a lot of truths about myself because there were things that I had put off for so long that I just didn't know how to unpack them, and therefore it just became something that I would just lash out, I would just have this uncontrollable anger for no reason. It was like, why am I so angry? Like, why do I have this rage within me? And it was because I never had like the space to really unpack how I was feeling in those moments, and therefore it came out as uncontrollable as it did. So as I got into more meditation and more breath work and stillness, I started to ask myself questions like, okay, well, why are you feeling this way? Well, why are you angry right now? Well, I'm angry right now because of that. And I started this whole dialogue with myself to get to the root cause of why I felt the way I felt. And it led me to a level of forgiveness, not only forgiveness for other people, but really a forgiveness for myself for not being there for myself when I needed myself the most. And I think that's where that anger kind of stirred from. It's like, kind of felt like I left me And as funny as it sounds, it's like I left me and I just went off to go do whatever it is that I felt like I had to do for others. But I didn't need no space for the things that I desired to do, the things that filled me up, right? So that's my uncomfortable truth. And now to this day, like, I love me. I love having my dialogues and conversations with myself and sitting in silence and being still and present in every single moment, because I think that was the thing that was the definitive factor in my life, is that I wasn't really present in every situation, because I was always either stuck in the past or thinking about a future that hasn't been that hasn't unfolded yet. So I was never really present with myself, and me being still allowed me to be more present in the moment and really see who I am in each and every aspect of life. And I think another thing too that helped me as well was my sister. We was actually having a conversation not too long ago, and we talked about this on our podcast too. And she would always ask me questions that made me think deeper about myself. And she would always ask me, like, who are you? Like, outside of the things you're doing, outside of the people you're hanging around, outside of all the accomplishments that you've had, who are you? And that made me go really deeper within myself to really see who am I. And the answer I came up with was, well, it's all about who you are in each and every moment. You know, like at first I was trying to identify myself like with whatever it is that I was actively doing at the time. Like, oh yeah, I'm making music, so I'm an artist, right? I'm a rapper. That's what I would identify with because that's who I am at the time. But as I kept growing, I kept shifting in my life. So it was like I would see different aspects of myself. So I'm like, okay, who am I now? Who are you? And then I would ask myself and go deeper and deeper, and then I would discover a different aspect of myself. So I feel like there's so many layers to us that if we bury ourselves too deep, those layers aren't able to really get peeled back. And when we're left to ourselves, it's like, well, damn, there's so many different aspects of me that I don't even know how to unpack it. It's just too much, because too much time has gone by and there hasn't really been any like self-analysis, right? So that's, yeah, that's my uncomfortable truth.
Thank you for sharing. I love that. And yeah, and that's Paula Zay, y'all. That's my other co-host with my other podcast. We have Beyond the Usual. And we talk about a lot of mindset things and like stuff like that. So that is, it is beautiful to have people in our lives that do help us to see ourselves a little clearer, you know, that help us to that are like safe spaces for us to grow, you know, like kind of containers for us, because we all need community, right? Like we all need someone. And Risha, she said on Facebook, she said, who are you? That question will make you break down. It's powerful and will let you know so many different areas you need help. Absolutely. Because most people don't
That's
know the answer to that question, or what they would answer is like their titles. Like, I'm a wife, a
right.
partner, I'm a spouse, I'm a, you know, whatever, I'm a parent. Like, they don't know who they truly are, you know, and that is why we're having these conversations, right? Because it takes the reflection. It takes learning about ourselves and being honest with ourselves and not judging ourselves, right? Like, not judging our past, not, you know, like staying stuck in the regret and the anger and all of that, because it doesn't serve us, you know. But it's not to ignore the feelings. And I will say one of the biggest benefits of doing this work, even though it is hard, it is not easy by any means, is to build that internal safety, build that trust within ourselves. We're looking for the partner that we can trust. We're looking for the best friend that we can trust, that we can, you know, that are safe spaces for us. But are you a safe space for yourself? How do you do that? You look in the mirror. You do the work. You get the counselor. You get the therapist. You get the coach, right? You watch YouTube University, whatever, you know, look at, like, listen to, you know, podcasts like this where we delve into these types of conversations. Because if you face yourself, you're not only helping yourself in the present, you know, we're talking about like just being present, right? You also help your inner child. Because even though we're at this big grown age, we all have inner child within us that didn't get what they needed. And that is still there, that if you are self-sabotaging, if you are ignoring yourself, if you are, you know, looking outside of yourself for answers rather than facing your own truths, you're basically telling yourself, I'm not important. You're telling yourself that other people are, you know, the priority, right? That I'm not a safe space. So it's not only for you in the present, but it's also for the inner child, because we all have that. So again, just shifting gears before, you know, as we are closing out, what advice would you guys give to someone that's maybe earlier in their journey to, if they feel like, how do I, you know, how do I learn these lessons? How do I get the things? I know, for me, I know we talked stuff like throughout the episode, but go ahead. Okay.
So I would say the thing that comes to mind, I would say for one, stop worrying about what people think of you and start worrying about how you feel about yourself, because thoughts turn to me, thoughts turn to things, and thoughts are just an indicator of how you're feeling. So I think that once you start to change the way you feel about yourself, then that'll change the way that you think. And therefore it'll, in essence, change the way that people perceive you and think about you as well. But the way you go about that is you have to cause disruptions in your pattern of thinking, because you have a certain belief about yourself, and a belief is just a thought that you continuously think over and over and over again. So if you have things like, if you say things like, oh, I'm not good enough, or this will never work out, then you have to create disruptors in that thought pattern and say, well, I'm not good enough yet, but I'm working towards getting better. Those things will help you to redirect the way that you're thinking about yourself and your circumstances, and it'll help you to grow. It'll help you to grow and evolve into the person that you truly desire to be. And so I think that would be the greatest first step. If like anything that you think about yourself negatively, try to add something else on the other end of that. Like if you think you're not good enough, just think like, I'm improving. I'm not good enough yet, but I will be. And that'll just help you to elevate faster.
I love that. That's very powerful in the like reframe, right? Like if you have these negative thoughts, and we all have self-limiting beliefs, like they just, you know, they tend to look different, but we all have them. And when you have those, like you said, kind of disrupt it, is to find evidence of the opposite. Because the thing is, our brain is a problem-solving machine, right? So what we focus on, the brain is going to find more of that. And energetically, you know, that also attracts more of exactly what you're focusing on. So if you say, I'm not good enough, or you think, oh, I'm a bad parent, find evidence of the opposite. Find, you know, okay, what did I do for my child? What did I, you know, how did I show up for this friend? Even though, you know, like whatever the case may be, find evidence of the opposite and then reframe it. The thing is, I feel like most of us don't give ourselves permission to be beginners. We don't give ourselves permission to not be the greatest at things. So if we allow ourselves to kind of like reframe it to disrupt those thoughts, that's really where the magic happens, you know? And one thing I will say too, I will say to as advice is to get curious. Stop judging yourself. Stop living in the regret and the shame, because it's not going to serve you. So when I say get curious, look at your triggers. Because I think sometimes we think, and if you're like me, like that high achiever, maybe like Terry over here, that's, you know, got 4, 5, 6 degrees and still in school, you know, you probably like, okay, give me the assignment so I can like check the boxes, right? Let me do the things. But you're probably like, let me go get the books, or let me go do this. But without even having to go get all these external things, look at what is right in front of you, because we all get triggered. Like every single one of us. I don't care how, you know, how well you emotionally regulate, we still get triggered within our bodies, right? So if we get triggered and get curious about the trigger rather than getting triggered and, you know, like Terry said earlier, is to just react to it and then we blame other people and we project. Get curious about the trigger. Where did this come from? Where did I first feel this? What is this bringing up for me? Oh, rejection. Where did I first feel rejection? Oh, I remember speaking up when I was a child and, being told that kids are seen and not heard. Or, like somebody dismissed my feelings, right? So then I feel like, oh, I gotta bottle up my feelings. Like, get curious about where this came from. And then think of the thought, because the thing is, a lot of times we get triggered and we think it's the situation, the circumstance that is actually the problem, and it's not. What the problem is actually the thought that you had. Because something happens, we have a thought, and we're like, oh, this person didn't text me back. Oh, that means I'm not good enough. Or that means it's rejection. It's that thought. It's not the person texting you back, because they might be in the damn shower, right? It's the thought that we create, and it's the thought that leads to the feeling of the rejection, the feeling of not being enough, the feeling of whatever that guides the behavior that we have that tends to be maladaptive. So if we look at our triggers and get curious rather than criticize them, rather than judge them, that is a great way for you to start to look in the mirror and actually notice the things to look at. I mean, to again, just learn those uncomfortable truths and grow. And I'm telling you, once you start doing that and becoming more self-aware and building that internal trust and safety, can't nobody tell you shit. Listen, okay? Like, you gonna talk your shit because you start to notice things, not only for yourself, but also for other people. One of my greatest things that I will always be proud of is the fact that rather than years after the relationship, I learned the lesson. Now, because of all the work that I've done, because of all the, looking in the mirror and sitting with myself, meditating, learning to like and love myself, now I'm able to process in real time. Now I'm noticing the things in real time rather than like 5 years later or 6 months later after a relationship done ended. Now I can course correct in the moment. And most people don't have that ability. I'm gonna get off my soapbox, y'all. Y'all know how I get started.
No, but that's real. That's
That was so
real.
good. That was so
Yeah.
good.
That's real. Only thing I would tell people really is don't compare yourself to anyone else. Worry about yourself, how things make you feel. When you feel what you feel it the first time, baby. Don't have it have to happen over and over and over, and then when it hits you, it hurts the worst, you know? Then you don't want to be forced into your self-reflection, because you get forced in your self-reflection when you're not paying attention to the trigger the first time, or how someone didn't do for you the first time, you know? Worry about yourself, focus on yourself, do what makes you happy. The key word, honestly, in the whole thing is you. Nobody else. Not your mother, your father, your spouse. What makes you happy? Because if you're not happy, you're not helping nobody else. As no matter how much we're gonna say we are. Oh, I did this for her. Bruh, you probably did it, but did you do it with attitude? I mean, I'm gonna do it, but that's because you're mad at yourself. That used to be me. I used to be like, I'm gonna do it, and da-da-da-da-da. You didn't have to do it because you're angry. But you're angry because you didn't put you first. And like Paulize said, when he felt like he abandoned himself, that's real. We do. We abandon ourselves so much because we never want to sit there and feel it. But baby, when I got sat down in October till January, and I had to feel it. And the reason I can say till January is because one day after it called itself snowing in Charlotte, I literally woke up hype like it was springtime. Like I felt rejuvenated type thing. You would have thought it was 90 degrees outside, y'all. Okay? But
Like
I
a
was ready.
soul type of transformation.
I had my own personal spring. I had now left the winter time. My winter solstice was over. My spring was here, M meaning the pain I felt was gone. You have came out of that, and now every day I fight to say I'm never going back there. That's why I say you never think about the woulda, shoulda, couldas. That's fine. Because when you have your own personal spring, baby, you're out of it. Move forward. Think forward. Use that new mindset to make sure you never go back that way. And when I mean go back that way, you don't reconnect with the people. Don't no longer minimize yourself to deal with it. Even how much you may want to push yourself to contact or this and that. No. If you did it for a reason to protect your peace, and whatever you have to do to protect your peace, no matter how much people are going to say you a punk, you scary, da da da, that's not scary. You're protecting yourself by all means necessary, baby, for you to move forward. That's all I can say. You take care of you and nobody else, because you can't help nobody else unless you're taken care of.
And Arisha on Facebook, she said October was her month too. She said, I love that in response to you. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I think we've had a lot of food for thought on this. Terry, did you have a advice?
I do. I want to say everything that we've been taught as children, especially in our DEI Black community, everything we've been taught is probably wrong in some way, but they were doing the best from what they had. Putting you first is not selfish. It is not. Just because, just like Dee said, how can you give to someone else if you have nothing to give? Because you don't even know yourself. You don't even love yourself. You know, you're exhausted. You have to put yourself first. That's not selfish. That's wise. And then you spoke on triggers. I always think about people, he always pushing my button. That's your buttons are your triggers, right? That if someone knows you well enough to push your buttons and all of a sudden, like a jack in the box, you react, then maybe you need to work on those buttons, right? Or reprogram those buttons so that way when they do it, you don't react. And then they're like, you done changed. Yes, that's called growth. You're supposed to change. And give yourself that grace and space to do that because nobody should be able to be like a puppeteer, push your little buttons, and then get you to react. And now who's going to face the consequences? Not the person that did whatever to trigger you, to piss you off. It's going to be you
Yes.
with that
Right.
mugshot, you know? Or on Jocelyn's Cabaret, beating up your girlfriends and all. No, you don't have to do all that. Just think before you act. Find out what causes you to react and change that behavior before it damages you. And I always say that the best time to do all these things was a long time ago. The next best time is right now. And it's not an easy process. It's painful. I still don't like sitting in silence. I am so uncomfortable in silence. And people are like, okay, we're going to take a moment. And it's quiet. I'm like, can somebody talk about something? Like, why is it quiet in here? And so it's not easy. And then to sit in silence and have to think about yourself and what you need to work on and what you, that's some hard work. I'm gonna tell you that. Nobody, like the little church songs, like nobody told me the road will be easy. It's not gonna be easy. It's not, but it's necessary. It will help you and enhance you in so many ways when you do that work because now you know yourself. Now you know what causes you to react a certain way. Now you know that some things that happened in your past have followed you into your adulthood and how it's affecting other people. You can't realize that if you don't sit still, if you don't sit in that silence. It's okay to put yourself in that and then come out of hibernation or your October to January period as a better person, that renewal season, right? In that winter solstice to put an end to that. But you had to sit still, had to sit in it. And it may not have been the most comfortable place, but it got you to a whole nother level of growth. It got you to a whole nother perspective and outlook on life and everything else. And that's what's necessary. It's just almost like a caterpillar going into its cocoon, right? He was ugly when he went in. And then when he come out, look at this beautiful butterfly. And so it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's not okay to stay that way. because that's not growth. That's stagnant. You don't want to do that, but you have to go through the process and you have to trust the process. And we've all been on one side of the process or the other. And so we can tell you that the process works, but you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to do it, because if you get in that stuck point where you're just not making any progress, that's where you're going to be. That's why we know some big grown people. Oh, I ain't going to change. You don't like it or whatever. Or they're 40 going on 16. They're still their little teenage partying self, even though they're 40 with like four kids. And it's because they don't want to grow up, because they have to face themselves and face those truths. And as D said, never compare yourself against others. Compare yourself against yourself. Am I a better person, father, brother, husband, cousin, what, today than I was yesterday, than I was last week, last year? The answer may not always be yes, but that's okay, because you're constantly and continuously assessing and you're getting better. And so you're going to fail sometimes. You're going to fall short. But because of that assessment, you just say, hey, I need to do better. I need to turn this around. I tried X, Y, Z. That didn't work. But you know that your goal is to be a better person. And then I really like what Paula Zay said about who are you? Because I can answer that and say, I'm so many things, depending on the time and place and environment that I'm in, right? I'm the calm, understanding father. I'm the turn on some Glorilla in the car. Husband, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a lot of things, but at my core, I am someone who is a humanitarian that wants to help other people, but also knows that there's limits to all of that. And that was the hardest lesson that I had to learn. And I think that if you do that continuous assessment, you'll understand that you shouldn't be expected to be the same as you were 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago. If you have your high school reunion and those people still act the same as they did in high school, they're some immature people, okay? And they probably, I ain't even gonna talk about food stamps because they're gonna be taken away soon. So, but they are not growing. They might be living still in their mama basement, but you don't want to be around those people. But I'm sure their traumas played a role in that, but that's not how you want to be. And I'll close with that. This is an individual effort, but just like we're doing now, you need that social connection too. You need people to be that mirror. You need people to reflect off of and bounce ideas off of also. You work on yourself individually, but you still come together collectively and have these discussions. So there may be a gap that you didn't identify, or they may have a way that you never thought of to help you get there faster. And that's why, because we all have problems and traumas and everything else. It's just about being transparent and discussing what you're comfortable with discussing and working through it. Like I said, both on an individual but on a social level at the same time. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can sit and pray for it all day long, but if you ain't doing nothing to actually change it, it's not gonna change by itself. I always tell people, they're like, oh, I'm short on money, whatever. I'm gonna just pray. And God don't have Cash App, but He gonna show you the way. He gonna show you how to get the money. But you gotta go out there and do it. You gotta go, and so that's just the way. But you can sit and wait on it. I'm just telling you that it's still gonna say negative puns tomorrow. But
I ain't lying.
and it don't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. Just look at what your issues are, deal with them, be uncomfortable for the moment, because I call it a short-term pain for long-term gain. So you can deal with the pain for the short term so that you can deal with the benefits in the long term, or you can get the vice versa. You can get the short-term pain, no, the short-term gain, the benefit of, oh yeah, that's great, it's happy for about a moment. But now, because you made bad choices irrationally, irresponsibly, you got to deal with the consequences for a very long time. So I'd rather take the first option. And then the last thing is the significant emotional events. That's what usually causes people to change. You don't have to let it get that far where you have to lose someone or go through something or go broke or go through a divorce or what. to start working and changing yourself. If you can get ahead of that and do the work now before you go through something significant, you'll be thankful. And I thank you all for letting me have an opportunity to speak. And that's my statement.
Of course, and Arisha said she recreated a circle that included people who were where she wanted to be. It'll humble you and push you to evolve in every aspect. And I think that's so important, community, which is why we created this podcast, you know. So, Darian, did you have something? Because you unmuted. If you have
Oh,
something, I'm gonna make it short because I do want to close.
mine is just gonna be completely short. Just drink your water, do your skin care, get money, stay sucker free.
I'm tickled.
Get me on the sucker free.
Love
Yeah,
it.
I think the last thing I want to say is I think the biggest benefit or one of the biggest benefits you can get from learning about the uncomfortable truths about yourself is that once you do that work, as you know, again, that it's not easy, but once you do it, nobody is going to be able to use those uncomfortable truths against you. We get butt hurt because people, you know, talk behind our backs or they say things and it, you know, it triggers us, right? That's because we ain't healed it. We ain't processed it. We haven't faced it. So once you face yourself, you're gonna get to a level of peace that you've never thought was possible because people are always gonna talk shit. People are always gonna say something. You make a post, somebody got something to say on Facebook. Family got, oh, you still doing that? Oh, you still sick? Like, you still, and because I faced it. I done worked through the shit, right? So I think that's one of the biggest benefits that you can get from facing yourself, facing your truths. Nobody can use that as a weapon they formed against you. So me and D Chanel are so grateful for y'all. Listen, this is our second season, kicking it off with a bang, I must say, because this was better than I even thought it would be. I'm super excited next month, and we are doing our live episodes every first Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, y'all. Every first Wednesday. So it'll be March 5th. And we're actually going to be talking about friendships, y'all. Y'all know we got some lessons about them friends, right? So I certainly hope that you guys enjoyed this, that you got something out of it, that you learned something, took some away, released something. You know, and I invite you guys to share, like, subscribe, because we are on all platforms, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, podcasts, all of the things, because this is how we gain traction by people reviewing the podcast. If this resonated for you, please, please give back to us because we pour our hearts into this. Like, this is our baby, and I'm grateful that you guys shared space with us on Facebook. You know, here through Zoom and then on TikTok as well. Got a lot of likes and comments on there as well. So, a quick takeaway, everybody, a quick takeaway, and then I will allow you guys, not I will allow, like, but I would love if you guys have businesses to, if you want to shout it out, tell people how they can follow you, and then we're gonna close out of here. What's the takeaway? One or two things.
I would just say practice mindfulness. If you don't know what it is, look it up. It's great.
Love that. Love that. Mindfulness. Okay.
I'm taking Darren. Stay sucker free. Focus on yourself. Remember, it's always about you, nobody else.
Yes. Okay.
I'll say find more ways to be present with yourself. Because typically we like to kind of run away from ourselves through different things, different outlets. So just try to find little pockets of presence with yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dee, did you have anything else before I allow people to shout they self out?
I have nothing. Thank y'all for coming to our podcast. We're gonna be here again March 5th, same time, same place. Oh. What another triggering topic for the community.
Yes. And we have bi-weekly episodes. This one will be posted this Sunday, and then they will be posted bi-weekly. So if you don't already subscribe to the podcast, please, because we got some juicy topics. Only the lives are this long. It's just because we community, we talk, we energy attracts energy, but our podcast episodes are, shorter. They're not like an hour and a half, 2 hours, but they are good discussions. They're healing. So I hope that you guys will join us there as well. And please share. Yeah, share with people that, if you guys have community that you think would benefit from these conversations, have some input. But any businesses or anybody want to shout their stuff out real quick?
Stay big, stay bleedy back, back to black, black, blackity, black, because I'm black and I'm back.
That's all we got, sis.
Y'all don't know the movie reference. Y'all ain't never
no,
seen
I know the movie reference.
Donna said, great podcast. Thank you so much. I'm really glad that this resonated for y'all. So I'm gonna shout myself out since ain't nobody else going to. I am Kalisha Lachey. I'm a significance coach, and I have some slots open for one-on-one coaching. This is exactly what we work on, right? We focus on you rediscovering yourself, being able to find your own inner significance, not looking for external validation, and just building routines and systems, learning emotional regulation. If we talk about doing this work for self, but the biggest thing is, if you were like me, you might need an accountability partner. And that's exactly what I do. Hold you accountable, be a safe space for you to grow, and just be a container and a sounding board for you. So if you are interested, I was about to say click the link in my bio. Tripping. Well, I mean, for people on Facebook and then TikTok, that is true. But you can certainly find, once we post this, all our links, me and Deschanel. I don't know if she's gonna shout herself out because she sure got a business too. But that is me.
I'm not
Paulie
shouting myself out. I'm doing a rebrand. So I shout myself out next time.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna hold you to it. Paulie.
Well, I'll shout myself out. So you can follow me on all social media platforms at Paulize underscore Anthony, PAULIZE underscore ANTHONY. And I'm a content creator. I make content on self-development and mindset, and I'm a thought leader. So if you're looking to, if you need help, or if you're looking to just get more into self-development and meditation and things of that nature, then yeah, you can use the link in my description and all my platforms too.
Yes. And me and again, me and Jose have another podcast, Beyond the Usual, that you can find that in the link in the description as well. And right now, our focus, we're talking about who are you, where are you stuck, how you can move forward and reach your goals and things like that. We have kind of similar, same like high level conversations. So feel free to find us on YouTube as well. Terry, what you got?
So, I do a lot of business with the government. So, if anybody wants to network, and I probably can only be found on Facebook, I keep a pretty low profile. But I do. My background is in healthcare administration. That's my doctorate. And then I do human resources and staffing for the government. I'm an ISO psychologist by training. So, and also anything criminal justice related, or organizational leadership wise. So if anybody's looking for a contract partner, or anybody to help them or show them government contracting, I'm always available. And just reach out, and I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you again. I do try to be mindful of time, but we was flowing, y'all. So, can't stop spirit. I really am grateful that you guys joined in, everyone, your comments, like I feed off of this. So, Arisha, she said, I need some contracts. I do DNA and drug testing. So
Okay,
I will.
Dr. Terry Flood at gmail.com. Dr. Terry Flood at gmail.com.
Oh,
I'll send it to her.
okay,
Okay.
perfect. If you could put that in the chat, so you can just copy it and then like send
Okay,
it.
got you.
Perfect. Look at us making connections. I'm here for it. But again, thank y'all. I really hope to see you guys in more faces. March 5th, where we talking about friendships. And yeah. See y'all soon. Y'all have a beautiful night.
They triggered.
Stay triggered, y'all. Yes.